Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Pretty Little Book Nerds. My name is Genevieve.
I'm Danielle.
And we are talking about This Girl's a Killer by, do you remember the author's name?
Emma C. Wells.
Thank you.
I did some quick research because it's been a little while since we read this.
It has. I think we read it either the beginning of this year or like end of last year. So it's been a minute. I'm pulling up my Goodreads. I think
it was like April or something.
Was it? I couldn't remember.
Oh, wait. I have it on here. I read it March 2nd through March 12th.
Well, there we go. Okay. Not the challenges. I want my list of books. I want to see what I rated this. Because I feel like you always mention what you rate things, and I never do. I rated this 5 stars.
I give it 4 stars.
I'm trying to review all of the books that I read. I need to actually catch up on a lot of my reviews, but this was what my review was. I said, I want a sequel, which I stand by that. I said, Cordelia, Diane, and Sugar are just the most perfect family in the world. And the fact that even with what Cordelia does, she has standards. I completely support what she's doing. And I'll be sitting here not so patiently waiting for the next book.
Yeah, so I looked up.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
So I guess on Instagram or something, she put out a story or whatever, and then it disappeared, about her next book being released like 2026. But okay. I don't know if it has anything to do with this one or if it's a standalone.
Yeah,
she said that that's all she could reveal.
I'm gonna look her up. I'm gonna turn into Frankie on the Basement Yard and just look for an excuse to look at my phone, I guess. Let's see.
I mean, that's all it said, but.
Yeah, I don't know. She's.
Oh, crap. I just.
About my debut novel, This Girl's a Killer, is pretty.
Oh, no. Josh is calling me. Sorry. He interrupted.
What's my favorite question that I get from readers?
Oh, no. That looks like that's not what that's about. Okay.
Okay, so
yeah, no, I'm trying to find information and there's nothing. Okay, we don't need Taylor Swift in our lives today, sorry.
Yeah, there was nothing that I could find on it.
Yeah.
And I even looked at her website too, and it's nothing. Yeah. Hopefully she'll put out a sequel. I don't know. So anyways, this is her debut novel.
She put something on Instagram in July that says, not a spoiler, I promise. Here are a few vibes. Cordelia and Diane was my friendship book. Millie and Frances make up my sisterhood book. Think Practical Magic meets Sharp Objects. For all delusional control freak older sisters and the unhinged little sisters who made them that way. Title and more coming soon, hopefully.
Oh.
Huh. So it might not be connected.
It doesn't seem like it is because there's like no magic in this book.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it takes place in South Louisiana. Cordelia, but these notes are from long ago, obviously, March. I have it in quotation marks because I guess I got it off of somewhere or Goodreads. Let's see if it's on there.
Or is it
It is from Goodreads. Cordelia Black loves exactly 3 things. Her chosen family, her hairdresser, worth every penny plus tip, and killing bad men.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. So it's big Dexter vibes. She researches bad men and then goes and kills them.
Yeah. It's, oh my gosh, I'm like, now, like, I feel like I'm struggling to remember things just because of how long ago it was. Oh,
I can keep going.
Keep going.
Okay. No. So her best friend, Diane, whom they met each other in college, I guess Diane was, like, attacked or something, and...
Yeah, yeah,
Cordelia killed that guy.
Good for her.
But Diane became a single mom and has her daughter, Sugar. I forgot the real her real name, but...
Yeah, because her real name just is call her Sugar. Not Sugar, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so, oh... So anyways, it takes place in Louisiana, so there's a bunch of swamps everywhere, obviously, like, perfect place to hide a body, right? So that's where she goes to this one spot all the time to bury her bodies, and she sees a weird green light, like, across the swamp. So she dumps off the body, goes and finds the green light, and realizes it's a camera. So she takes it with her, and then is freaking out because
she doesn't know
how long that's been there. If it was there, like, this whole time, well, not this whole time because she would have been caught before, but, like, the past couple of times.
Yeah, I feel like they also, like, around the time that she finds this, I feel like I remember there being a lot more, like, media coverage of these people dying. And, like, they had given her, like, a serial killer name. I can't remember what it was, but, and so she was like, oh shit, they're gonna find me, basically. And so she becomes even more, like, hyper aware than she already was, which is saying something, because, like, she had a specific phone that she only used to contact the person that she would give body parts to, and, like, all this stuff. She was very meticulous with everything, but she becomes even more meticulous, and I can't remember if it's her or if it's Diane, but one of them starts dating a cop.
So, okay, Diane gets a new boyfriend named Simon, who's really creepy, and, like, Sugar hates this guy. So then immediately,
she, like, keeps thinking of ways to murder him, and it ends up kind of happening accidentally because he, like, corners her. Because he's like, I know that you can tell I'm a creep, basically. And then she's like, you get away from me and murder him.
So, what happens is, she thinks he's creepy anyways, but she's trying to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. But then he's trying to only have, like, I think they go to, like, a fair or a carnival with Diane and Sugar, but then they're so used to Cordelia coming, like, as a family member and coming with them to everything, so Simon gets
jealous and territorial,
and then starts acting worse. But
yeah,
I put Simon confronts Emma in her house. Who is Emma?
I think you meant Cordelia, but you wrote the author's name. Because that's what happened with Cordelia.
Oh, that is the author. I don't know.
You're going to go in and change it.
And fixing it. Like, I'm never going to read this again. Okay. For some reason, she... I don't know. I thought that whole scene would have been a little different, though. Like, than how it played out.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Don't remember. I think it was just that she didn't think he would attack her, and something with the phone. Wasn't the phone put in a drawer or something? And or maybe it was that she recorded him. I don't know. Oh, but she cuts him up and then puts him in her freezer because she has to, like, go meet Diane and...
Yeah, and also, if I remember correctly, the guy that she would give the body parts to, like, only could pick them up, like, every once in a while. It was very, like, sporadic.
Yeah, she had to call him from the phone or, like, text him something specific. Yeah.
Oh, and it's coming back to me now. So, like, this is kind of how she realizes, like, oh, they're getting closer to finding me, is because they only, her and this body dealer that she has, this body parts dealer, like, they only ever text. And then one day, out of the blue, he calls her, and she's like, no, 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 this ain't it, basically. And so it ends up being that, like, he has gotten discovered by the cops. And I remember it being, like...
Yeah, because he's... Sorry.
No, you're good.
I was gonna... Oh. Sorry.
I stopped. You go.
Okay. He's the one who actually set up that camera mm-hmm. in the swamp to catch her. Because he doesn't know exactly, like, who she is. Because they've never... met before, they only met once.
Yeah.
So, okay, go on. I'll shut up.
But, like, she basically makes all of these crimes look even more like he did it. So he's the one that goes down for it and she doesn't get caught. Look, you want it up here. So this is where you're going to be now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, she's the one who's dating a cop because I think Diane sets her up. Or it's like Simon was a cop too.
I don't think that's friend. What it was.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like we don't get to see Cordelia and this cop together. I feel like there should be a sequel with her still killing people and yeah.
Yeah.
What? So this actually went in a different direction than what I thought too. Because I, with the way that Cordelia spoke about Diane, like she was a little repetitive at parts, even throughout the whole book. But I thought she was gonna end up like being a lesbian and like they were going to like be a couple.
I kept wishing they would be, but I mean, you could tell that, like, she's very much the oh my gosh, I almost called her Caroline. Now I can't think of what her actual name is.
Cordelia?
Cordelia, thank you. Jesus Christ, my brain, like, stopped working. Cordelia's very much the stereotypical... like what you think of when you think of a serial killer personality wise, because in a lot of the parts where they were like, she was with this cop that she was seeing, she talks about how like she's kind of faking it because she doesn't really know how she's supposed to really feel, kind of thing. Like she doesn't feel what she knows that like she should feel or something, kind of thing. Which once again kind of goes back to like what you said of like the Dexter type vibes.
Yeah.
But I also felt like that was, oh my gosh, why is my brain like not working? It felt very, similar to how the romance was portrayed in, one of my favorite books, American Psycho, which I was also going to say that I felt a lot of similarities between those two, which might explain why I liked this book so much. This book had more of a comedic tone to it at times than American Psycho does, for sure. But like the way that the emotions are described from the point of view of the killer, in both of those books was very similar. And how you can tell that there's like real genuine emotion only for specific people.
Mm-hmm.
It was described very similarly to me, or at least that's what it sounded like.
So. Okay. Yeah. There were parts of dark humor.
Yeah, which I love. Quotes
or anything. I do too. Yeah, I think I took away a star because it happened to be like repetitive at parts, and it wasn't a very long book. So
I feel like to other people it would be though. Like that's what I kept reminding myself of is like I was flying through it, but at the same time I'm like to other people I feel like they'd be like, oh my god, this book is so long. But like,
so on Goodreads, I didn't know they had this, but it says 432 pages.
Yeah.
That's long. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was like, to other people it would be long, but we flew
through it really fast. Yeah, I guess we did. Dang.
Yeah. Which, like, the book that we're currently reading that we'll be talking about in, like, two episodes, we're reading The Nightingale right now. And I just decided with that one, I'm like, it's just so thick. I downloaded the audiobook and I'm listening to it to kind of help me get through. Not because I think that I enjoy reading it. It's just, I don't like.
You even have the pretty special book.
I know I do.
With the sprayed edges.
And I have been reading out of it, but it's also like when I'm at work and stuff, and especially
you can't even see it. This is like the big.
Yeah, no, mine, that's like the normal. Mine is the fancy. Just like this.
Yeah.
But especially this week at work, I'm actually in a classroom. And so there's a lot of preparation that goes into that, you know, like setting everything up and all that. And so it's a lot easier to just like throw on the audiobook during those times when I'm like needing to do other stuff. It also gets me to like be able to, it gives me time to be able to do my homework and focus on my schoolwork and still read. I don't know. It just, I'm reading Turtles All the Way Down right now too. And with that one, I couldn't imagine listening to it because of the way that it's written very choppily, which makes sense for the type of book that it is. It's, you know, about a girl with OCD, and like really intense OCD. And so like, it has to be written that way, for it to kind of work for her personality. But like, that one, like I could not pick it up as an audiobook. I don't think I would like it. But historical fiction is a new genre I'm getting into. And so, I feel like audiobooks helping with that. I don't remember why we started talking about this.
About what?
About Nightingale. I can't remember why I brought it up. I know there was a connection I was making and I can't remember. I don't know.
I don't know either.
You guys will figure it out while you listen to it.
So I think we already summarized it, gave our thoughts. We only recorded Butcher and Blackbird just the other day. So I'm still reading those books.
Yeah. the only book that I added, and normally I wouldn't do this because normally the books for school are actual garbage, but this one's like a legit book and not a textbook. And so I'm like, I'm counting it as one of my books.
Of course.
So I can get through 25 books or 50 books faster. Ever since I saw that your friend was like almost finished and it was 25, and I was like, geez, that's not very much. I was like, now it's just stuck in my brain. So the book that I've added is The Devil Never Sleeps by Juliet Kayyem, Learning to Live in an Age of Disasters. So it's basically about how society improperly prepares for disasters and doesn't handle them properly after they happen either. And so it's about like how to make that work. And I'm like two chapters into this because I have to read it on a school like schedule.
That sounds interesting, though. I did want to start Turtles All the Way Down because I heard about that.
Yeah. I am also using my Dr. Pepper bookmark.
Oh, yeah? Me too. I'm using that one in The Nightingale. I did actually, since this is only a few days after The Butcher and Blackbird, I was listening to the assistant to the villain. I DNF that because I like I don't know, I would like zone out when listening to it and I couldn't keep up with it, so I just DNF'd it and was like, I'll read it later because it does still sound interesting. And then I started listening to Hexed by Emily McIntyre, the last book.
I haven't even gotten back to that one yet. Like, I read the first one.
So many. I flew through these.
I read the first one and I really liked it, and I want to get back to reading them.
The next one is so good too. Oh my gosh.
The second one.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Well, I'm also doing this thing now where it's like, because we're doing the podcast, I want to do the monthly reading challenges, too, because it's also, you know, helping me get through my TBR a little bit faster, because it takes the decision making of what to read, it takes it out of my hands, which is the hardest part of reading, in my opinion. And so, like, I don't know, I don't have one that fits with yet. So I don't know, maybe I'll put it in as some of my February reads. I'll put it in that list for my Valentine's reads, since it's technically romance.
Are you how many books are you listening to
right now? I have these three books actually that I'm listening to.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening to 11/22/63 by Stephen King. It's still technically on my Goodreads, even though I started it forever ago. But I also want to, you know, make a point of saying it's like a 900 page book. So it's going to take, it takes a lot to get through. I also feel like it is the book of mine that takes the most effort to focus on, because there's always something going on. And you don't want to like miss anything. And then I have the audiobook for The Nightingale. I also took a book recommendation from one of your friends. Ivy. Shout out to Ivy. And I'm reading a book called The Ethical Slut, which is actually a pretty interesting book, because it's a book written by two marriage counselors on the concept of polyamory. And I don't know, to me, I guess maybe I have a very like interesting viewpoint on marriage counselors, because I think that they're basically only made for tradition, like to help with traditional couples of like, you know, a man and a woman. They're not really made for like homosexual relationships. I feel like they can kind of do more harm than good in those situations. Maybe I'm wrong and I have like a very,
I feel like it just depends on the therapist, because
I don't know, maybe all it's different our marriage anyways. Counselor our marriage counselor is an older white guy, so maybe it's just that like he's odd, but yes, this book is very different from what I expected from a therapy standpoint. But she said it was a good book to read. And so I decided to get the audiobook while I was on my way home from Chicago on Monday. Because I was getting bored listening to like music and podcasts. And so I listened to that. And it was actually, it's been quite enjoyable. I'm trying to get Josh to read it. Not necessarily to give him any ideas, so to speak. But just because I think some of the activities that they have in there that are like marriage counseling activities are kind of interesting and fun. And I think they would be good for us to do considering we're doing counseling. But mm-hmm. he's against it on the principle of the title. So also dude, don't read. So, you know, that also doesn't help my chances of getting him to read a book, but
yeah. Oh, well,
I read enough for the both of us. But yeah, so I've added a couple of books since we filmed on Monday. But I'm also so close to being finished with Turtles All the Way Down. Like the chapters are thick, or thicker than I expected for a young adult book. But at the same time, like I'll be like, oh my God, like this chapter has so many pages, and then I'll read it and I'll be like, oh, the chapter's already over. Like it's just such a fast read. It's a really good book. I highly recommend it. And it's actually making me super excited to watch the movie at some point because they made a movie of it, I believe, last year or maybe this year. Won't watch it with my dad this time though. And I know my dad watches all of my videos that I put out, so he's gonna hear me talk about him. But because I loved The Fault in Our Stars when I was younger. And then the movie came out and I wanted to go see it. My dad took me and he straight up bawled crying at that movie. And so won't do that to him again. Won't make him watch another John Green movie. But, you know, love you, Dad. He's a very emotional man and we appreciate that of him. But yeah, I'm excited to see that. And also because it got mentioned in Haley Pham's 50 States in 50 Days video.
I watched that last night.
I watched it last night too.
Oh.
Yeah. She read it as well. For her reading. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. We both decided to read it because we were both traveling there this summer. Without knowing that, like obviously I didn't know that she was going to read it. So, but that was kind of cool. But that'll be my last one that I, like, that will be the last book that I read for my reading challenge that actually goes out on Friday that I have to film tomorrow or Friday. because I'm trying to finish this book before I talk about it all. And then I'll start September's challenge. And I did not get through as many books for the summer challenge as I thought I would. But I was literally the busiest I think I've ever been. I had something going on every 2 weeks this summer. Did not give me a lot of time for stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah, you should read Turtles All the Way Down. Let me get back to that.
All right, so are we good to wrap up on This Girl's a Killer?
I think we are. Give us a sequel, but we're excited for the book that is coming out next year, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like I've been looking her up like every couple of months to see if there's something new. But I don't get on Instagram, so that's why.
I know, I send you videos on Instagram, never hear a word. Just dead silence.
Sorry.
Also, I believe is this the first one that goes out in October? I'm not sure. Let me look. Oh, it's not. It goes out on the 25th, but so I should have mentioned this in the last episode, but it wasn't finalized yet. When this episode comes out, it comes out in October. So we have my cozy crimes once a year holiday Halloween special that comes out on Halloween. That's super exciting. I'm getting to talk about all of the crime related locations I got to visit this summer, which is so cool. And the Psych Museum in St. Joseph, Missouri, which was a blast. But I will have another podcast starting in October.
Another one.
There's one starting in September and one starting in October. September is the music one that's coming out, which will be out by the time this comes out. But we'll be two episodes in on that one by the time this video comes out. And we haven't even recorded those episodes. Oh, there's a cat.
There goes a cat.
Oh, hi, buddy.
I don't know if he stopped.
Oh, he's okay. Headless.
No, we're still recording. Okay.
Yeah, he's headless.
Okay. All right, just go.
But the other one that will be coming out this month is a series called DocuMinded. It will be me and my Aunt Nicole, who I do my True Crime Traveler series with. We'll be watching documentaries and or docudramas that are out and available to the world, depending on whatever they're on. They could literally be on the stupidest thing. We're going to do one on the documentary about Action Park in New Jersey, because it's one of my favorite things to talk about in the world. Danielle can attest to that. Hey,
did you see...
What?
They made a movie about it. And I think it has Johnny Knoxville in it or something.
Oh, that's Class Action Park. That's the documentary. Or wait, no, that's Steve-O.
No, this is an actual movie. It has Johnny Knoxville in it.
What's it called?
Dave Prinsky, Action Point.
Action Point. I'm going to have to write that down.
Yeah, I saw it advertised on YouTube, and I meant to, it has another guy from the Jackass show, but I saw it 2 weeks ago, and I kept forgetting to text you about it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's super cool. But yeah, so I'm going to rewatch that documentary, and I'm going to make Nicole watch Class Action Park. It's one of my favorite things. If you've never heard about it, definitely check that out, but a lot of it will probably be based on either serial killers or natural disasters or missing persons, any true crime related kind of thing. I know she's going to want to talk about Chernobyl. I hope this doesn't offend any of the people affected by Chernobyl, but that is literally her favorite thing to talk about is Chernobyl. So I have a feeling we're definitely going to talk about that. But yeah, DocuMinded will be starting in October. I figured spooky season was the perfect vibes for that. So if it's out already, because we haven't picked the date of the release of that, but if that's out already, I hope you guys enjoyed it. If it's not out, I hope you guys will enjoy it when it comes out. But yeah, we've got so many fun projects coming up. I know this is not really the place to be announcing projects, but gotta do some self-promoting, keep the business going. But yeah, I think that's it. So I'm gonna shut up now.
Okay.
Anything else?
Subscribe.
Oh yeah. Follow us.
Click that like button. TikTok. We are talking about we're gonna release episodes once every 2 weeks, but we do wanna get more videos out there to build this channel, so we'll be releasing some bonus episodes every now and then.
Yes, just haven't figured those out yet. Oh, but that's
my daughter.
Oh,
there we go. Okay, all right. Let's
Audrey. Bye, Audrey.
Bye. Bye.